Welcome to another edition of the Healthy Alabama Podcast, sponsored by Enroll Alabama and produced in partnership with WJOU FM, Praise 90.1 FM, Oakwood University Radio in Huntsville, Alabama. I'm David Person, and I am very glad to have with me in the studio sleep wellness expert Donnie Brown Hill. And Donnie, welcome.
Hello. I'm so honored to be here. Thank you so much for the invite.
Well, it's good to have you. Sleep wellness, that's something everybody probably, especially of a certain age, can relate to, you know, the need for it and the challenges with maintaining sleep wellness. So let's start there. How common is it, do you think, for people to have problems going to sleep and getting a good night's sleep?
Well, studies have shown about 80% of Americans don't get the right amount of sleep.
Whoa,
80%?
80%.
Uh-huh. And over about 60% of them know full and well that they're not getting enough sleep and do nothing about it. So we have people out there that are driving. We talked about that with you earlier.
Yeah.
People are out there driving sleepy. And if you are driving sleepy, it's like having been over the limit with alcohol. So it's like you're drunk when you're driving, which is very dangerous. Yeah, people, how many accidents have happened in what happened to the oil wreck? You know, that was sleep issue too.
The oil wreck. What
with
are you
the
about?
Was it X? That wasn't Exxon. Who was it that?
One of those.
Yes.
Oh, that was due to somebody having trouble, a lack of sleep.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Hmm. Yes. Yes. So a lot of people just don't understand the importance of it. They don't understand that sleep is actually designed to detox you. So what are we doing now? We're talking about, oh, I got to detox. I got to lose this weight. But they're not getting the sleep. Because guess what? If you're stressed out, what happens? Your cortisol level goes up and your eating increases. So you're going to gain weight. So if you don't deal with the sleep part, which is the foundation for everything, every aspect of your life is affected by sleep. And I tell people, everything begins and ends with sleep.
Mm. So now you are a, pardon me, you're a sleep wellness expert. There's a formal way of saying that. You say it because I can't say it. Go ahead, you say it.
I am a registered polysomnographer technologist.
Polysomnographer technologist.
Yes.
And that basically means what?
I'm a registered sleep technologist. And there's two credentials, but the gold standard is the registered polysomnographer technologist.
And you've also taught this for years.
Yes, at UAB, at the University of Alabama in Birmingham.
So you've seen a lot.
I have
What is it that you commonly see in terms of people with sleep problems?
What I see is that's one reason I did go into coaching is because while I was doing sleep, I noticed that everyone was saying they were sleepy, overwhelmed, and stressed. So I'm in there coaching, and everyone doesn't have a sleep problem. Sometimes it's just a disorder in their lives.
Now, when you say coaching, you're talking about life coaching, the other thing that you do.
Exactly.
Entrepreneurially.
With the life coaching, I found that both my sleep patients and my clients were experiencing the same thing. And it's just not being able to slow down. A lot of people have a racing mind. They can't not stop thinking. They're always thinking. And that, in turn, results into insomnia. So one thing I do ask them to do, especially my clients, is to get a journal. And get a journal and have a pen next to your bed. Before you go to bed, write down what's on your mind. Why can't I sleep? What's really bothering me? The second thing you write down is what I can do about it. And usually nothing at that moment. And the last thing you write down is the five things you're grateful for. Then you close it. And then you let God have it.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay. So you're saying, just to recap, you're saying that 80% of people in the United States don't get a good night's sleep.
Yes.
And you're saying that the way to address that, one way to address that.
Exactly.
Is to do some brief journaling that helps people to process their thoughts. And these are for the people who have what you call racing mind.
Correctly.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So what are some of the other disorders or challenges that create problems for people going to sleep? I'm sure racing mind, is that the most common one?
It's right now insomnia, because a lot of people are experiencing depression.
And depression keeps people from being able to go to sleep.
Exactly. Yeah, so you experience insomnia, and a lot of people they either cannot stay asleep or they can't go to sleep, and that's insomnia. You can't go to sleep, or you can't stay asleep.
Okay, so now with that, let me make sure I get some clarity here, because I know that there are people like myself, mm-hmm. And I've confessed to you, I've got sleep issues going back for years, but I don't get a full night's. It's rare that I get, let's say 4 or 5 hours of just straight sleep. What I generally get is I'll get a few hours of sleep, 2-3 hours, whatever it is. I wake up, either I go to the bathroom or I don't, and sometimes I don't have to go to the bathroom. And then I go back to sleep, though. I don't have any problem going back to sleep. And then I'll get, another block of sleep. And then, so that's pretty much my night.
Right. How do you feel when you wake up? Are you refreshed? Are you ready for your day?
I haven't felt refreshed in years.
Because of the sleep apnea.
Right. I think what I probably feel is alert, but refreshed. No, I don't remember what that feels like. I don't know.
Been an entrepreneur, that'll take that away, wouldn't it?
So the whole idea of I guess what I'm trying to get you to address is that, would you describe sleeping in blocks like that as that insomnia, or is that something else?
It could be something else. It could actually be that, especially you waking up between like 2-3, some around that time, your cortisol levels can be going up, because if you're normally stressed out, your levels will stay the same.
And now what is that?
Oh, that's your stress hormone. Yeah, your stress hormone.
Okay.
So if you're always stressing out, then it won't level out, and it will wake you up when it's supposed to go down. So you'll wake up like 2 or 3 in the morning. You wonder, why am I awake? Because your levels. And you can go to ENT to find out if you have any issues with your stress hormone. So I do recommend that if someone is waking up in the middle of the night between maybe 2-3 around that time, to go to an ENT to ask them to check their stress hormone to make sure it's not interfering with their sleep. But one of the most common sleep disorders is, as you know, is sleep apnea. You hear so much about it. People are putting the nose strip on their nose. And sleep apnea has nothing. It has more to do with destruction of the airway. So when you do go to sleep and you lay down, everything relaxes. And what happens is there's something that's obstructing the airway. So it could be your uvula. It could be the tissue. Your tissue in your back of your throat could be so crowded that when you sleep, it just closes in. Could also be your tongue that falls back there that cuts it off. So what happens is there's no oxygen going to your brain or the rest of your organs at this point. So you can't breathe. And a lot of times you'll hear somebody like snort, to start breathing again, because their breathing has been cut off because something is obstructing the airway.
So it's what causes that?
That it could be your anatomical makeup, how your body is made. You can have a person 125 pounds because their airway is so crowded that when they sleep, it just closes off and they're not able to get any oxygen to the brain.
So it's the structure of your throat?
It can be, yes. It can be that. It can be overweight. If a woman has a neck size over 16, a man has a neck size over 17, both are at risk for sleep apnea. It can also be your comorbidities, which are your diseases. It could be heart disease. It could be related to diabetes. Because people don't understand, and some people can't get, because even medication interferes with their sleep, they're not getting enough sleep for the body to naturally detox so the body can heal itself. Because that's what happens when you sleep. The body is healing itself. Memory's been placed where it needs to be. You can have long-term memory. And people just ignore it like it's something that they don't need. But it's essential for you to be at your maximum throughout your life. So...
okay, so let's talk now about what we can do about it.
Okay.
Let's deal with the medical and the non-medical. Let's start with the medical. What do you, as a sleep wellness expert, what do you advise?
First thing is always to get the sleep study. Rule it out. Rule out the sleep disorder. A lot of people are afraid to go to sleep study. You're afraid somebody's going to be, looking at them. Nobody wants you, to be honest with you. They just want to take care of you. They just want to take care of you. So just go in, have the sleep study. It is painless. You will find out if you, it's like know your status with anything. Make sure you don't have a sleep disorder. Could it be your medications? For some people, their medications, they're taking their medication at the wrong time. Like if a diuretic, they don't want to take it all day because they got to go to church and they take it before they go to bed. What's going to happen when they go to bed? They're going to have to get up and go to the restroom.
Go to the bathroom.
Yes. Yep. So you want to make sure that you get a sleep study, check with your medications, make sure all your physicians know the medications that you're on. Also, make sure you're taking them at the right time of the day, that it won't interfere with your sleep, because you do need your sleep to heal, especially if you've had a surgery. Also, it's important to make sure that you are getting your preventive medicine appointments and making sure that you don't have diabetes, you don't have any heart conditions, you don't have hypertension, because those things will make sleep apnea worse. Because you can end up with sleep apnea.
So you can not have any of those things but still have sleep apnea.
Yes, you can.
But you can also have sleep apnea if you have it exacerbated by diabetes, heart condition, whatever.
Yes.
What if you don't have sleep? Is it possible to not have sleep apnea but to have diabetes or heart disease or something else that then in turn affects one's sleep? Is that possible?
It is very much so. One of the common things, especially, is pain. People experience a lot of pain, and that keeps them up at night. And again, the medication is a very big issue. People are not taking their medications at the right time, and they're interfering with their sleep. So one of the things that people, family members, and also be mindful if someone is falling asleep at the wrong time. Like if I'm sitting here having a conversation with you right now and you doze off, There is something going on.
That'd be pretty serious.
Yeah, it would be serious. Yeah. But a lot of people blow it off. There's somebody say they're tired. Mm-hmm. And we need to be paying attention to their breathing. You know, if they're snoring and they're suddenly you don't hear anything. Okay, there's something going on. Let's get a sleep study. So just be proactive and have a schedule. Start having a schedule before you go to bed. One thing I recommend is for if you work during the day, when you get off at 4:30, usually people get off 4:35, the sun is still up usually. If it is, wear your sunglasses. You want your body to start winding down. I call it RRS. It's your ritual, routine, and your schedule. So go ahead and start wearing your sunglasses when you get in the car. When you get home, don't turn all the lights on. You know, start dimming the lights, start and decreasing the temperature. You want to get prepared for your body. Start having this routine, this ritual,
but
and this schedule.
Early? I mean, you know, if you go to bed at like, you know, 10, I mean, do you start really 5 hours early?
You certainly do, because most people drink, like you were telling me earlier about the amount of caffeine you drink. Caffeine stays in the body.
Well, let me be clear. I only do that when I'm getting on the road. I'm not a big coffee.
Well, most people are.
Drinker.
Most people do a lot of caffeine. And their caffeine stays in the body for 4 to 6 hours after you've had it. Yeah. So here you are trying to go to sleep. And for some people, they drink. I used to drink it right before I went to bed. Now, how much sense does that make? Mm. My body was used to it, but I still had some interference. It's like a cigarette. How people who drink also, same thing. They'll have a cigarette or they're drinking it, put them to sleep, and they'll wake up because it's gone in their body. So it's disruptive.
Let's linger there for a minute because, you know, I think you make a great point. There are a lot of people that use some form of alcohol to relax them.
Right.
You know, and I think that's a pretty common practice. Wine, you know, glass of scotch or whatever. And I'm not a drinker, but I know just from, you know, what I've seen. So you're saying that alcohol ultimately, even if it relaxes you and helps you to ease into sleep, it ultimately disrupts it.
Exactly. You actually wake up. Yeah, it's one of those things.
Now, are we talking about, because I know there's alcohol, there's a certain percentage of alcohol in some of your cough syrups and things like that. Mm-hmm. Are we talking about that amount of alcohol, or are we talking about, you know, a glass of wine or a bottle of beer or something?
When you say that, how often do you, if you're not a drinker, how often will you have cold medicine? If you're not a drinker, that's still alcohol.
That amount.
It can't interfere because you'll have people. Now, it depends on what else is in there, because you got to remember, when it comes to cold medicine, there's more than just that alcohol. So it really depends on your body, the way your body absorbs alcohol. It's with everything. It's individual how your body experience. Like you were saying that you sleep in blocks. That may work for you. I've had one patient, he was a fisherman, and he worked 2 hours and he slept 2 hours. And there's a normal process that you go through when you sleep. You go through N1, N2, N3, then you go back into N2, and then you go into REM sleep.
Now, what does all that mean,
okay.
N1, N2,
when you go
N3.
To sleep, is the stage one is N1. N1 is when you start, you know, you're dozing off. Somebody can still arouse you, you know, wake you up. And you can maybe actually have a jerk before you go to sleep. That
now,
is
what
normal.
Is that? What is a jerk?
Before you go to sleep, a lot of people jerk. They'll, like, jerk, and they're like, what's something's going on with me? That's normal before you go to sleep. Hmm. It's like a jerk that you'll have. So some people jerk.
An involuntary sort of
It's a jerk.
Way to keep you up or something?
No,
or?
It's just a normal process that your body goes through. It's like, I equate it to when you have chills. Chills is nothing more than you adjusting, your body adjusting to the temperature in the room.
Oh, okay.
So you're jerking because you're about to go to sleep. Hmm. So that's a normal process. So then you go into N2. N2 is when you're not familiar with, you know, obvious, your surroundings not obvious to you. You're just dozing off. You're really asleep. Then you go into N3. Now, N3 is essential for, especially for children and for all adults. That's where your growth hormone is secreted. Growth hormone is for muscle and is for tissue building. And for children, of course, the growth hormone, so it helps them grow. But when you get older as an adult, that decreases, and that's why you find a lot of older adults have accidents and can't heal very properly because they don't go in that sleep as much because it's diminished as they age. Then you go back
and that's
into,
natural that it diminishes? There's nothing that should
well,
be done
I've,
about that or can be
what
done
I've
about
seen
it?
Is with my sleep studies, what I've noticed is patients that are older adults and they're active, they're readers, they use the computer, tablets, and they have friends. Their brainwaves are sometimes as like young people, where an older adult who's retired, doesn't have family, doesn't want to do anything, their brainwaves have diminished. So sometimes at that point, it's very hard for me, when I used to study, to even know what stage of sleep they were in because their brainwaves were so small.
Wow. Okay.
So then you go into REM sleep, which is your sleep, is your dream sleep. And that's where you dream. And you don't have to remember your dreams. People say, I don't remember my dreams. That's okay. You dream. You just may not remember them. And then you wake up and you actually go back into stage N2. So it's a process that you go through when you're sleeping. And it changes as you get older, of course, because the body changes. Medications are involved. Some people are retired and they don't have a schedule and they say, well, I sleep when I want to. And that's another thing when it comes to older adults. They take more naps. So they're not going to sleep as long. So they may have taken a 3 or 4 nap and three to four hour nap. And they're saying, well, I only took an hour and it was 3 to 4 hours. And that's what they're telling. That's what they're telling their children. I only took an hour nap. And then you're wondering why they only sleep in 4 hours during the night,
okay,
because they had that long nap. And one thing I want to stress about parents, your kids were never designed to go to bed early and wake up early. Their bodies are actually designed to go to sleep later and sleep later.
Now,
if
when you
ever
say
notice,
later,
yes.
How late are we talking?
Some of them 10, 11, 12.
Whoa, what are you talking about for 4, 5, 6-year-olds?
Well, you're talking about for adolescents, what you were talking about 12, 13, 14 on.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so their bodies are designed to, really?
Yes, that's
okay.
Why some states are actually trying to change the time that students go to school, because they will perform better, be tired. The world's designed on the adult schedule. So you go to bed, you tell your kid to go to bed at 8 or 9 o'clock, what happens? You think they're asleep, but they're not asleep. They're not really going to sleep till 11 o'clock, but you want them up at 5 o'clock. So they haven't only gotten maybe 6 hours of sleep, and they may need, well, it depends on their age. A 12-year-old needs about 10 hours. Then you have a teenager who needs about 9 to 8 hours. So they're not getting all their sleep. And parents are wondering why they're so tired and why can't you get up? You're being lazy. They're not being lazy. They are tired. So please, I'm pleading with parents, on the weekends, if they can rest, let them sleep in. There is nothing they have. They don't have to go out in the field. They don't have to go out in the field and park
or
pick anything. They don't have to go harvest anything.
Yeah, the days of picking cotton.
Yes, they don't have to do any of that. Yeah. So just go ahead and just allow them to sleep in. It is so essential for them to be better students.
All right. We're talking with Donnie Brown Hill. She's a sleep wellness expert based in Birmingham. The name of your business is what? Essentially?
Essentially Sleep.
Essentially Sleep, LLC. Okay. So I've got to ask you before we run out of time about two things.
Okay.
One is napping, and the other is about, and this is the one I want to start with, is something that I had been told for years. And I've actually, when I've done it, you know, you asked me off air before we started the podcast, do I ever feel refreshed? And I said, no, I don't know. I don't even know what that is anymore. I feel alert, but not really refreshed when I wake up. But I tell you what I do, what I have noticed. So I'm going to modify my answer a little bit.
Okay.
When I go to bed, and I usually only do this because I am so tired and run down or because I'm ill. If I go to bed at like 8:30, and I get, you know, a good 3 to 4 hours before midnight, I do feel better when I eventually get up. So I've always heard and been even taught that the sleep that you get before midnight is better for your body than the sleep that you get after midnight. What's your thought about that?
With our 24-hour society, I can't even think that that is even possible, because the way that everything is designed now, we have to, our bodies have to function at the best that we can, right?
But as a matter of sleep science, I'm asking you.
Oh, a matter of sleep science.
Do you think that there is validity to that idea that if the more sleep you get before midnight, the better it is for your body?
I have not seen any studies or actually heard anyone say that but you, to be perfectly honest. I've never heard that before.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's the quality and the quantity of sleep that matters. Mm-hmm. So if I used to work night shift, so I would go home and get in the bed by 7 and I would sleep maybe to 1 and I would wake up refreshed. So but I have never seen any studies or even heard that before. That was the first time I ever heard that.
Well,
I'm going to have to find that out.
Yeah,
if anyone else, I'm going to do a little research on that.
And then let me know, because
I will.
I've always heard that from certain circles of my life, I've heard that said, mm-hmm. and the times that I've actually done it, few and far between, because as you said, we just, you know, we're in a 24-hour cycle of living these days. It actually has worked. In fact, I'm thinking I might even do it tonight because I'm feeling a little bit run down today. But that leads me to another point, and that's when I ask you about napping. I have found, you know, of course, as a child, you know, you hated to take naps because I guess we knew we were missing out on something or thought we were. But at this stage of my life, you know, I'm mid-50s. I'm like, man, I'll take a nap in a second. Give me a chance to take a nap. I'm happy to do it. You know, I think napping is in fact, I think it really helps people like me whose sleep patterns are not, you know, as healthy as they could be or should be. What do you think about napping?
I agree. Napping is great, but do not go over 30 to 45 minutes. Anything over that will put you into a deeper sleep and you will wake up feeling groggy. You won't even feel like you even got any sleep. So taking maybe a 30 to 45 minute nap, that is awesome. Just take that downtime and just make sure you get back up. But anything more than that will interfere with the quality sleep you get that night.
So you're recommending setting an alarm to wake up in 30 or 40 minutes?
Exactly.
Okay, so don't just trust your body to wake you up.
Correct.
Saying.
Unless your body is designed that way, because my husband's body's like that. He can tell himself that he's only going to sleep until 5 in the morning, and he will wake up at 5 in the morning.
Really?
Yes. So
that's what you do? He's here in the studio with us. Really?
Yes.
So you don't have to set an alarm to wake up ever?
I rarely, but even what I'm impressed with, if I may be impressed with myself.
Get a little closer to the mic since we brought you into
it. And thank you very much for doing so.
Yeah.
What I found is when it comes to napping, I'm a big proponent of taking a nap. And what I found is I will tell my wife, I'm going to lay down for 20 minutes. I'm going to lay down, sleep for 30 minutes. 20 minutes, 30 minutes, I'm up. No alarm clock. no nothing, nothing to arouse me. And I'm just, for whatever reason, programmed that way. If I say I'm going to get up at a certain time, it generally happens.
And you can do that also with your you can wake up in the morning without an alarm clock, too?
For the most part. Now, there are some exceptions. If I'm, like, super tired, then I may sleep over 20 minutes, 30 minutes, but I'm going to be in the ballpark of when I say that I'm going to wake up.
Don't go by number when it comes to sleep. A lot of people want to say, well, you need 7 to 8 hours. If you function well off your 6 hours, then function well off your 6 hours. Mm-hmm. But make sure you are waking up refreshed, because you still need to be able to let your body do what it naturally needs to do, the detoxing, so you can get it the right amount of sleep. Because like I said, the stages of sleep that I explained, there's usually 4 to 5 per night. And if you don't get those 4 to 5 per night, then you're not able to actually let your body do what it needs to do naturally.
All right. We're almost out of time. So we talked about medical solutions to sleep problems. Can you recommend some non-medical solutions?
I want to talk about what I call our RRS, your rituals, your routines, and your schedule. You want to make sure that the temperature in the room is cool, because we sleep better when it's cool. You want to also remove all electronic devices from your room. When I did sleep studies, if a patient was trying to hide their phone underneath their pillow, I could not read their brain waves. It was interfering with the equipment. So remove your devices. I met a young lady who was single, and she was worried if someone broke into her home. I said, lock your bedroom door, take your phone and charge it in your bathroom. Someone comes in, you got two doors they have to get through before you can call 911, so you're safe.
So the problem with the electronic devices is that it disrupts the brain waves, you think? And then that in turn disrupts sleep?
Yes. And television, you think you're watching television at night and you go to sleep and you think you're a lawyer on Law and Order. It interrupts your sleep.
Oh, in terms of what you're dreaming
about.
Yeah,
yes. You think you're a lawyer. I'm pleading my case here. So just remove the electronic devices. Remove the television, because it does interfere. If you need white noise, they have white noise machines. Some people sleep with a fan to get the noise that they need. Also, think about not eating before a heavy meal. Please do not eat a heavy meal at least 4 to 5 hours before you go to bed, because that can also cause GERD, which is gastro reflux. And you want to make sure that the caffeine, you stop drinking caffeine, because it's in your body 4 to 6 hours. Do not go to bed hungry. So if you need to get a little snack, do that, because hunger will wake you up too.
So a little light meal, very yes. light meal. So are we talking a piece of fruit?
Fruit, you can get crackers, cheese, something light okay. that you can take, you know, eat before you go to bed. Because some people actually have to take medication for to go to bed and not on an empty stomach.
Right.
So don't go with a heavy meal, because you don't want to end up actually with GERD, which can actually destroy the esophagus, which you may end up having surgery. So it's a whole lot of things going on with that.
Mm.
Yeah.
So. Okay. I want to go back to the electronic devices. I know of course I've been transparent with you, so I'm going to continue to be transparent with you. I cannot get my mind, you know, I think I have that racing mind thing that you talked about earlier. So what I do to get my mind to settle down is I'll turn on a podcast and I'll set, you know, my phone to shut down at a certain point, but I'll turn on a podcast so that I can sort of focus on that. And then when I'm focusing on that, I'm just able to drift off.
Right.
You think that's bad or?
Yeah, because you still have your electronic device in the room. So why not get a speaker mm-hmm. that doesn't have as much radioactivity in it?
So that's the real key for you. It's the effect on the brain waves.
And the body, because we have so much coming at us mm-hmm. that it's harmful. And we don't think, why, you know, brain cancer. You know, people are putting their phones in places they never did before. We got an increase in breast cancer. It's just so much going on. And there's not a lot of studies out there, but we have so much coming at us at one time. And we need to be very careful of what we're allowing in our space. And like I said, during my sleep studies, if the device, a small little phone underneath the pillow, is interfering with my equipment, there is something wrong. Something is happening to the body. And I just think that. And then the bright light. we don't pay attention to that.
Yeah, that's that blue light. Is that what they talk about?
Right. Now, there is blue light therapy. Like right now, because of the fall and the winter, people experience what we call SAD. SAD is a seasonal affective disorder, and they do have bright light therapy for that. And you can actually get a bright light on Amazon now to help you be able to stay awake during the day. And it also, SAD could actually, people confuse SAD with depression. Some people are, and it's a, if you, one way to the see if you have SAD, to real, detect if you have SAD, is if you are sad the same time of the year. If you notice January, I'm always like, I'm really moody, something is wrong. It could be seasonal affective disorder. You might need to use a bright light to make sure to change your mood and to brighten. It works. It helps you stay awake and stay alert. So,
this has been a fascinating conversation. Donnie Brown Hill is the owner of Essentially Sleep, LLC. She's a sleep wellness expert with many years of experience as a sleep technologist. And I know that's not the formal way you say it, but sleep for lay people like me, sleep technologist.
Registered sleep technologist.
Register. Okay. Key to say that. Registered sleep technologist. And she's also taught sleep technology at the University of Alabama, Birmingham. Her business is based in Birmingham. If people want to learn more about what you offer and maybe even avail themselves of your services, what, how can they learn more about you?
You can find me at beyourowncatalyst.com. I'm also on Facebook at Donnie Brown Hill and Associates LLC. And you can also find YouTube videos on at Donnie Brown Hill and Associates LLC. And that's the way to find me. Or if you want to reach out at me via email, it's hello@donniebrown-hill.com.
Great. Donnie, thank you. And Mr. Hill, thank you. Appreciate
thank you.
You for joining us today and for sharing. You know, you also shared some. We appreciate that. All right. This is great information. I hope people will take it to heart, because the last thing we need is more sleepy drivers on the road. I mean, that's what I immediately think about, the danger of people being sleep deprived and driving. That's a scary thought.
It is, and it's happening, and you don't know. You think they're texting and they may fall asleep at the wheel.
And that's, yeah, so now you're compounding it because you're already distracted texting and then you're sleepy and texting and trying to drive.
Exactly.
That's scary. All right. Donnie Brown Hill, thank you.
Thank you.
The Healthy Alabama Podcast is produced in partnership with WJOU, Oakwood University Radio, Praise 90.1 FM. I'm David Person, the host and producer, and it is sponsored by Enroll Alabama. Our theme music was produced by DJ Bailey. Until next time, be healthy.
The Healthy Alabama Podcast is sponsored by Enroll Alabama, a program that enrolls Alabamians in the health insurance marketplace. Navigators provide free local in-person support to all applicants. Enroll Alabama, 256-432-7494, 256-432-7494.